You're about to begin a new sugya. It's about the first of the of the sugyas relating to Bor. We spoke a little bit about Bor almost in passing, but the first major sugya concerning Bor appears on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph in the Kama. And the way we got into Bor was the same way we've gotten into everything over the last couple of weeks, and that's through the statement of Rapapa. Rapapa told us that Toldos are sometimes like Avos, but sometimes not like Avos. So before we can understand what Papa was referring to, we have to go through all the list of all the Avos, all the Toldos. So the Gemara started with us a little bit, and now we're going to move into the next one, is Bor. And the Gemara, before we can figure out whether Papa's statement was relevant, we're not even sure what the Told of Bor is all about. So the Ava Bor, we have that pretty well understood. After all, Rashi, at the very beginning of the Masechta, told us that Avos always refer to things that are written in the Pesukim explicitly. So the Torah describes the person literally digging a hole. So he asks the Gemara in the first of the Ramakam, was told the Bor, my, what is the told of Bor? So Gemara suggests, Ilema Av Yud, the told of Tess. Maybe the Av Mazik of Bor is a Bor that's 10 Tvachim deep, and the Tolda is a Bor that's 9 Tvachim deep. Now when we say the word 9, we don't mean literally 9, we mean 9 or less. So, i.e., any boy that's less than 10 tefachim deep. Now, why in the world should we think there's even a distinction? So, there is a Mishnah later on, we're going to talk about that in a moment, where the Mishnah distinguishes between a boar of 10 tefachim and a boar of less than 10 tefachim. If an animal dies in a boar of 10 tefachim deep, the Baal HaBor is obligated to pay. If an animal dies in a boar less than 10 tefachim, then the Baal HaBor does not have to pay. Why that should be so? We have a lot of work to do on the sugya. But again, 10 tefachim is the cutoff point, it's the line of demarcation for the animal dying. However, if the animal doesn't die, just merely gets hurt, so even if it's less than 10 tefachim, one would be chayev. So there is a concept of a bor yud, that's the bor we call the bor lemisa. That's what the name of the sugi is, bor asara, not lemesa, but lemisa. Bor asara lemisa, that a bor that's 10 tefachim deep, that's the shear of Mises, ha-shor, ubor tesla nezikin, whereas if it's 9 or less, that's the shia for nezikin, but that would not be a bor to be chayef for Mises. So the Gemara suggests as a hamamina, maybe those are the two boros that we're referring to. Maybe the av is 10, and the told is 9.
Does it mean 9, or does it mean less than 10?
It means less than 10. It means less than 10. Oh. 9.5 is also less than 10, right? Anything, right, just means, just the easy way of saying less than 10. So the Gemara says, Ile ma'av yud v'tol d'tes, is that really correct? So says the Gemara, lo tes ksiv, lo yud ksivi. So neither the number 9 appears in the Chumash, nor the number 10 appears in the Chumash. Now since the basic understanding of an av is something that's kosher Torah, that's how Rashi defined avos and avdeis, so if it doesn't say 10 tefachim, it doesn't say 9 tefachim, so that whole model of identifying one bor as being the av and one being not the av, being merely the tolda, obviously that wouldn't make any sense. The Gemara says, no. That in and of itself is not such a big question. Halokasha. If you have meisia lo amrachamana, v'kimlu l'rabbanon, yud avden misa, tes tezikin avden misa lo avdei. So that's the Gemara. No, it does say 10 tefachim in the Chumash. Where does it say 10 tefachim? As Mava said in Pashas Mishpah, it didn't say the number 10 tefachim. Well, the Torah describes the animal dying in the bor. It says, "V'nafal shama shorachamor baal aboy shleim mer kesvim v'habesi yalo." So the depiction, the illustration of a boar in Parshas Mishpatim is a boar that's deep enough that the animal died in it. So the Gemara says that the Chachamim determined, the Chachamim realized that 10 tefachim is possible for it to actually have killed the animal. If it's less than 10 tefachim, then lo avdi misa. So then the 2 tefachim boar, the 5 tefachim boar, the 9 tefachim boar was not actually responsible for the death of the animal. Now, why we make that assumption, again, the sugya is going to develop, and we'll see why that should be so. But the Gemara at this point just used the phrase, Kimlu l'Rabban. Kimlu l'Rabban is almost like a global way of saying that we figured it out. The Chum figured out that these are the facts. The facts are that the Torah does describe a 10th Fachim Bor, and even though it doesn't use the number 10 explicitly, but since it does use the phrase Vamesi Elo, and Vamesi Elo is the equivalent of saying Abor Ha'osa Misa, and Kimul Rabban, we've determined that that is the Shia of 10 Tvachim. So in effect, it does say 10 Tvachim, quote unquote, in the Chumash. So at this point, the Gemara is comfortable by calling a 10 Tvachim Bor the Av, implying that a less than 10 Tvachim Bor must be a Tolda. So the Gemara says, no. Self, the Gemara rejects this answer. Because sof ze'av l'misav ze'av l'nezikin. That once you tell me that the magic words v'hamesi elo refers to misa, which translates to mean l'maisa ten tvachim, so the Torah now speaks about a ten tvachim bor. The Torah also speaks about a less than ten tvachim bor. Now, that line of the Gemara is very, very strange, because where does it say anything about it less than 10 tefachim block? The Gemara just showed that the words of Ames Yellow is the equivalent of writing a 10 tefachim block. But there's a piece missing here. There's a piece of this puzzle that's clearly missing. What led Chazal to ask this question? Sof ze'av le'misav ze'av le'nezikin. So we have a lot of work cut out for us in this sugya. So we're not, at the end of the day, this is not even the Avosim told us. At the end of the day, the Gemara comes up with a different tolda for Bar, which is going to be a whole other sugya down the line. There was even a little bit of a confusion in the Marmikomos, because that was there were two sets of papers in Marmikomos that made it to B'nai Shur in office. One was three sugyas later, and one was this sugya. So that's the real sugya. That's the Avosim sugya. This is the Lahavamina sugya. But we got to learn the sugya also. So again, the way all the dust settles at this stage of the sugya, the Gemara attempted to make the model of Avos and Toldos 10 and 9, and the Gemara said, no, that's just not going to work, because the 9 is also Kasam HaTorah, even though we have no clue where in the world that Kasam HaTorah is for the 9th Tefach Bar. But again, we have a lot of work cut out for us. So before we even get to that end stage of the Gemara, let's just analyze for a minute what the Gemara just did tell us. So if I would stop you and ask you, tell me the mohor in Torah Shebichsav for the Shir of 10 Tvachim. I just simply want to know, I have this Mishnah that tells me 10 Tvachim. Everybody learned from the Kama knows 10 Tvachim, that's the Shir of a Bohor. Menani Mili, give me a pasuk, give me a mohor. So if you would just read this Gemara, you'd walk away with the following answer. The Torah describes Mises Ashur for Kimlu the Rabbanon. You'd have the Misa, test the Zigan Avdi. This is not the first time that we find that the Torah speaks not necessarily in a specific Shir, but the Tarshim HaPeh, the Chachabim, the Halacha Masina, whatever you want to call it, has elaborated and put that concept into a very, very practical number, the Moshe Manda Bedome. We know that the shear of Tevila B'mikvah is 40 saw. A mikvah has to be 40 saw of water. Does it say the magic number 40 saw in the Chumash? No. What it does say in the Chumash is, Barachat says Kol B'sar B'mayim, that a mikvah has to be big enough for an average-sized person to fit their entire body in at one time. It's Kol B'saro, Kol B'sar B'vasachas. The Kimlu L'Rabbanon, the Gemara uses the exact same lashon. The Kimlu L'Rabbanon, Amma be'amma brum gimel amos. That's the amount of space of one amma by three amos, which for Kimlu L'Rabbanon, that translates to mean 40 saw. So the answer to the question, does it say 40 saw in the Chumash? Depends what your definition of in the Chumash means. When the Bakar reads, V'edav Hashem Moshe Lema, he doesn't say the words, V'edav Hashem Moshe Lema, Dabe B'nei Yisrael, Titfalu B'arboim Sa. That it doesn't say. But what it does say is, V'rachat Tzkobasar B'mayim, and the Tashma Peh has elaborated for us, what that means practically is 40 Sa. So 40 Sa is a Dibin HaTorah. The fact that a mikvah has that 40 Sa, that's clearly a Dibin HaTorah. It's a Shir that is not expressed explicitly in the Chumash, but it is a Shir that is defining a somewhat ambiguous term that appears in the Chumash, called Besaro. So the same thing over here. The Torah uses a very, very clear phrase, the Hamesi alone. So there's no doubt about it. We're talking about a boar that can kill an animal. So we're not talking about a half an inch of a hole. We're talking about something that can kill an animal. Since Kimlu L'Rabbanon, the Chachamim determined the 10 Tefachim is that appropriate Shiur. So the answer is yes, it does, quote unquote, say it in the Chumash. So if you would just walk away from Av Sugya, you would come to the conclusion that the source, but not immediately. Sometimes when I ask a question on the Bechin, I'll ask them, what's the Makor and Chumash for the following halacha? So the correct answer would be the three words, Veha Meisi Elo. The fact that the bar does Misa, Misa means Tan Tvachim, that's the source. However, if we take a look at another sugya, on the second of the Marmikopas, Daf Nunam Abeis, the Mishnah, we seem to get, at least from Rashi's understanding, a very, very different picture of what's going on. So the Mishnah begins in the second of the Marmikopas, Daf Nunam Abeis, Achof for Bishus Arabim, a person digs a hole in the street, V'nafal Asoch HaShor HaMor Chayev, and an animal falls in, an ox falls in, a donkey falls in, one is Chayev. Echad Achof HaBor, Shiyach HaMa'ora, Charitz Nun Itzin Chayev. It doesn't matter whether a person dug literally what's called a bor, whether it's literally a pit, whether a person dug a ditch, a person dug a cave, and all kind of different holes in the ground, in any shape or form. It doesn't matter whether it's literally translated to be a bor, that doesn't matter, chayev. Imkei lamanem a bor. So if the Torah is means to obligate you in any shape or form, why does the Torah almost limit itself? Why does the Torah mislead us by saying the word bor? Tosha just said, ki yichra ish berchov, person dug something in the street. What's the meaning of the word bor? So comes the Mishnah and says, ma bor sheyesh bok te lohomis asar tvachim. The reason why the Torah uses that very, very specific word bor is because bor conjures up a certain image. The image of bor is 10 tvachim. Av kol sheyesh bok te lohomis asar tvachim. So too, any kind of a digging into the ground, whether it's a ditch, whether it's a hole, whether it's a, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. If it's 10 tvachim, you're going to be chayev. What if it's less than 10 tvachim? If and an animal fell in and died, potter, then you potter. But if it was damaged, even less than 10 tvachim, broke its leg, then you would be chayev. So if you would just read this Mishnah, the Mishnah is addressing the phenomena in the Chumash, why it uses the word boar. The word boar is very, very limiting, very constricting. Why not use a more general term? So the Mishnah concluded, no, because a boar means 10 tvachim. And how do I know a boar means a 10 tvachim? So comes Rashi on the spot, and the third of the Maimon comes and says, stam boar asar tvachim. Rashi gives you taich. Rashi gives you translation. If you look up the word boar in the Wikipedia, so I state 10 tvachim, says Rashi. That, how Rashi knew that, I don't know. Rashi read it from the Mishnah. Chazal knew that. The word boar has a certain connotation of a minimum of 10 tvachim. So we now put together the two sugyas, the sugyan daf gimel and the sugyan daf nun. We have a real contradiction between the two sources, that what is the ultimate source for this halach of 10 tvachim? I'm not questioning the din. The din is true, the Mishnah says it, Chazal say it, there's no question whatsoever, 10 tvachim is the cutoff point for Mises HaBehema. But I'm not quite sure how I know that. Do I know that from the words Vamesi Alo and Daf Gimel? Or do I know that from the word Stambor? Stambor meaning 10 tvachim, like it appears in Daf Nun. So how do you resolve these two things together?
But also, according to the second source, all these lesser depths are also high in the same way, like four.
Well, yeah, what do you mean the lesser? The lesser...
The other definitions of charitzim.
No, but those are all ten tvachim, assuming that they're ten tvachim deep. If they're not ten tvachim deep, then there's nothing to talk about. Right. So the chiddush is, even though they're not shaped like a boar, they're shaped like this, shaped like that, whatever the reasons the possibly to distinguish are, the Torah doesn't draw any distinctions.
What about the
ninth tvachim? Ninth tvachim is not chayef for Misa, it's still chayef for Nezik. And again, that's part of the last line in the first part of Mekomos, Zav of Misa of Nezik. We're not sure where that came from. But that's for sure the din. That's what the Mishnah says explicitly. So the question is, how do we resolve these two statements? On the one hand, we're learning from the Mesia Lo, and the other hand, we're learning from the word Bor. So in the fourth of the Mekomos, the Shit Mekubetzes in our Sugya quotes a possibility that maybe, if you take a look at the third line into the Shita, Klomar, midisamich v'amesi alo lebal aboy shalem, mashbadahu bor lemisa ko'amar, aval nezikin tisha. So comes the Shita Kubetz and says, it's almost a combination of the two. Namely, what Rashi says in Dafnun is the emes lamito, that a stam bor is ten tvachim. But if I would have just had the word bor in the Chumash, I would have thought, it's halacha b'shinai, gzeres hakosuf, 10 tvachim, don't ask any questions. Anything and everything that happens in less than 10 tvachim, the balabor is potter. I would have thought that. So comes Rav Meisi Alo and says, no. Bamed var mamurim, that there's a shear of 10 tvachim, that's concerning a boar of Misa. The animal died, less than 10 tvachim, you're off the hook. But if the animal breaks its leg, then there's no shear. Then there's no cutoff point, then you're always going to be chayef. According to this interpretation of the Shit Mekubetzes b'Das Rashi, so we have to now answer that question a little bit differently. We start off by saying, well, what's the source for 10 tvachim? Where does it come from? So we learned Daf Gimel, we were very comfortable saying the source is Vamesi Alo. Wrong? The source is the word bor. The emes lamito is the word bor appears in Daf Nun Amei, Rashi said, stam bor asar tvachim. What our Gemara means is, how do you know that the shear of 10 tvachim is limited in scope only to certain kinds of damages, i.e. death of an animal, not the damage. How do you know all that? That's what Vamesi Alo has come to teach us. So Agamar is almost a little bit misleading. Agamar says, Vamesi Alo, Vamesi Alo just means, don't mistakenly think that Bor Yud is the cutoff point for any and every kind of Bor. Kamash Blan, it's only Bor of Misa. But when all the dust settles, what's the real source for the Did of Ten Tvachim? The real source is the words, Mastam Bor, Sar Tvachim, as Rashi said so clearly on Daf Nun Amud Beis. So that's one approach to the sugya. However, comes Tosfos and questions the entire premise of Rashi. Those four magic words, Stam Bor, Sar Tvachim, that does not appear in the Mishnah. Rashi stuck that into Daf Nun. And comes the grandson of Rashi Ben Atam and says, when he looked up the word Bor in his Wikipedia, it came with a different definition. So comes Ben Atam, take a look at the fifth of the Maimon Kamos. Ba Bor Sheish Wukatel HaMis. Bebaba Kam Bepir Shakuntris, Mishum Destam Bor Asara. So Rashi started off by saying that a stam bor, the word bor, translation, definition of the word bor, means 10 tvachim. V'koshel Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I'm going to take you through a whirlwind tour of Tanakh, and I'm going to show you that the word bor appears in other places where it clearly does not mean 10 tvachim. Adrabah, says Rabbeinu Tam, stam bor yosem yasorah. He said, the word bor in Tanakh doesn't conjure up the image of tefach. Is not all that deep. Tefach is about this. You're talking, there are different shirim how big a tefach is exactly in the modern day world. There are some posts who put it as little as three inches, and some put it as high as 4 inches. So acharei kichlos hakol, you're talking about a window of somewhere between 30 and 40 inches. Therefore, it's not all that deep. So comes a Rabbeinu Tam and says, I can't believe that the word bor in Tanakh means a 40-inch hole. He says, how do I know that? Kidashkan Biyosef. Biyosef's brother threw him into a pit. I mean, the goal of throwing him into the pit was he was supposed to not be able to get out of that pit. You don't get the impression they were going to stand there for the next month till something would happen to him. So they were going to throw him into the pit and leave him. Okay. Baruch Hashem, in the end, it didn't happen. All's well that ends well. Took a long time for that. All's well that ends well. But the mice, it happened. But the initial plan was to throw him deep into a pit. Obviously, he wasn't going to be able to get out. How deep was that pit? 36, according to Ramosha, it was 36 inches, that fit. So Yosef, what were the brothers thinking? What was Havimina? They were going to go back home to Yaakov and tell Yaakov a story that Yosef was just killed. And Yosef was going to climb out. And Yosef was very smart. He figured out how to get himself out of to become the second command to the king. He couldn't figure out how to jump up and to climb up and get out of a 3 foot deep hole. So Tosha says it's highly unlikely that the word bor there meant 10 tefachim. And then he has another ayah. He says, V'yirmiyah, says Psukim in the Navi Yirmiyah, that Yirmiyah was thrown into the pit. Now people wanted to get rid of Yirmiyah. They didn't throw him into a pit that was 3 feet deep. So Shehushluchu Lebor, Uktiyashchan Bebor Shemili Yishbo Ben Esayi Chalolim. Also Psukim referring back to in the Navi Yirmiyah and say from Malachim. So the bottom line is, says Rabbeinu Tam, that doesn't seem to be what the word bor means. So what does a bor mean? For Kan Piresh. This tambor ain't no pachas miyud. So we're going to see how in the world could that mean that a bor is merely 10 tvachim. It doesn't seem to be borne out by everything else. Now, all these kashas of Rabbeinu Tam are not necessarily so problematic to Rashi for the following reasons. If you take a look back at the fourth of the sources, so the Shin Mikubetz has already anticipated the question. He already had in front of him Rabbeinu Tam's tainus, Rabbeinu Tam's arguments against Rashi, and the Shin Mikubetz already defends Rashi in one fell swoop. Go back to the fourth of Baruch Hakohen for a second. It's the second line from the bottom. Umibor di Yosef Yirmiyah lo kosher. The hano base asurim hayu. Vayu amukim harbe. Valhacha mebor le tashbish arina nistomo asarai kalashono. Says the Shin Mikubetz, says the word bor has multiple meanings. It depends on what you're trying to do. The word bor sometimes means like almost like a dungeon, like an underground jail. So then of course it means much deeper than that. Who's going to put someone into a jail? If you want to lock somebody up, you're not going to throw them to a 3 foot deep pit. Of course you're going to throw them to a 100 foot deep pit. So all the boros of Yosef and Yirmiyahu and Yishmael, boros that are referred to in Tanakh, of course were much, much deeper. But that's not the image of the Kiyiftach Ish Bor of Pashas Mishpatim. When a person is digging a hole in the street, do you ever wonder, like, why is the guy digging a hole? The guy's not a bad guy. He's not trying to make people get hurt. That is digging a hole for storage. That was a common practice. That you're, I guess that's what the Rishonim tell us. I wasn't around. But you dig a hole in the street. You ran out of some storage room in your own house. So in your own backyard. So you make a hole in the side of the street, hoping no one's going to fall in it. Or maybe you even being a nice guy and planning on covering it over, and you forgot to cover it. So you dug a hole in the street. How deep a hole did you dig? If you're digging a hole for storage, it's highly unlikely that you're digging a hole 100 feet deep. It's going to be kind of hard to get in and out of it. So you want to dig a hole that has easy access to it. So on the other hand, you don't want to dig a hole that's 2 inches deep. What are you going to be able to store there? So 10 tvachim is considered to be the darker shaloylam. Stam bor yud tvachim. So shtey din rashi. So Shin Mikubetz deflects all of Rabbeinu Tam's kashas and saying, you're attacking your grandfather by saying that bor means stam bor is 1,000 feet deep. Wrong. A stam dungeon is 1,000 feet deep. But a stam bor for storage in the middle of the street is not 1,000 feet deep. So Rashi's not overwhelmed with the kashas of Rabbeinu Tam. But Rabbeinu Tam thought that the word bor does not have the connotation of 10 tvachim. So now he has a little bit of a problem. So if that's the case, that the word stam bor does not mean 10 tvachim, so how do we get to the magic number 10 tvachim? So Tosis continues. So let's skip down to the fifth of the Ramakamos. It's the beginning of the fifth line of Mefarshim Ben Etam. Well, Mefarshim Ben Etam, the Stam Bor Havi Yosef Me'asara. So the starting point, says Ben Etam, is the word Bor means a very, very deep structure. It does not mean mere ten tefachim. Utravayu Trichi. And says Ben Etam, the source for how we got to the magic number 10 is a combination of factors. It's a combination of two psukim. Let's not forget, we already have saw two psukim. We saw one pasuk the word bor and one pasuk the phrase v'meisi alo. Says Rabbi Natan, the ikas of a chamana v'meisi alo. If the Torah would have just written v'meisi alo, havamina would have said b'chol idin sheyamos afilu b'pachas miyud. So the words v'meisi alo just mean the animal died. So I would have thought, great, the animal died. What do I care how deep the bor was? Because of a chamana bor. Therefore, the Torah wrote the word bor to teach me that don't mistakenly think a one tefach bor is going to do the trick. That's why the Torah writes the word bor, because bor conjures up an image of much, much deeper. If the Torah would have written just bor, that wouldn't have been alone. Have a meaning, but amo kol kach. I would have thought that it's got to be like the bor of Yosef. It's so deep, the e'ef sheshel yomus bo. It's got to be so deep that it's impossible for anyone to survive. So then the Torah toned it down by saying, it doesn't have to be that it's absolutely so dangerous that it's impossible to survive a fall. It's got to be deep enough that 10 tefachim is just right, is just the right amount. So basically we have two psukim that are tugging at us. One is the word bor and one is the word v'meis yelo. According to Rabbi Natam, they are conjuring up very, very different images. V'meis yelo is conjuring up a teeny weeny hole in the ground because the animal died. Bottom line, the animal did die. Vamesi alo refers to that. On the other hand, you have this word bor, which has this other image of deep dungeons of hundreds of feet deep. So how do you resolve those two? So Rabbi Natam says, from the fact that the Torah is giving us these almost two different pictures of bor, that's what led us, the Torah Shabbat, that's what led the Chum to understand that the real true Kavanah Satorah is that it has to be deep, but not so deep. It has to be deep enough to potentially cause death, but not deep, so deep that it's absolutely no question. It was a slam dunk. It is what absolutely killed the animal. We're not 100% sure. It has to be deep enough to potentially kill the animal, i.e. the Shia of 10 Tefachim. So when all the dust settles, according to Ben Etam, if I were to ask you now, what's the source of 10 Tefachim? Where did it come from, the Shia? But only meal is the Shia of 10 Tefachim. So where is Rashi said, the Shia of 10 Tefachim is the word bor. Don't ask me any kashas. And what does v'meisi alo mean? That just means the Shia of 10 Tefachim only applies to Misa, not to Nezikim. But the real source for 10 Tefachim, according to Rashi, is the magic word bor. According to Ben Etam, what's the real source for the Shia of 10 Tefachim? It's not one word. It's a combination of two phrases. It's the combination of the seemingly contradictory images of the Torah depicting to us in the Parsha of Bor, one being v'meisi alo, which means a very small, one means bor, which means very, very, very big. You put the two together, you come up with this idea, yud kimul rabbanan. 10 is sufficient to kill the animal, even though it's not as deep as a classic bor would be. So, at the end of the day, everyone comes to the same place. At the end of the day, everybody ends up with 10 tefachim. That's not a question. The question is how we got there.
But even Rashi's initial one, he says, stabor asur tefachim, you wouldn't imply that it was 12 tefachim, you're not going to call it a bor.
No. It means 10 minimum. For a bit of time, says minimum, a real word of bor, if the Torah would have just said kif tachish bor, I would have thought it's got to be 1,000 feet deep. It's got to be Yosef style kind of a bor. So at the end of the day, everybody got to the same place, but they got there through different routes. But we have to begin to analyze now in terms of lamdas what Rabbi Natam just told us. Rabbi Natam just told us the following, that it's a combination of these two psukim that got us to where we want to get to, got us to the magic number 10. And let's play the devil's advocate for a second, and what would the world have looked like without both psukim? So Rabbi Natam said, if the Torah would have said just the words of Abbasi Elo, I could have conceived that a boar of 5 tefachim you could be chayav for. I could have conceived a boar of 1 tefach you could have been chayav for. It's not crazy to say that. There's nothing logically wrong with saying that. There's nothing halakhically conceptually wrong with saying that. In the end of the day, it happens not to be true. In the end of the day, the word bor qualifies that statement. But as we've seen already in Bava Kamma, the first couple of daf already, the world of Havamina sometimes sheds a tremendous significance on Maskanos and gives us a whole mindset as to what we're dealing with. So let's go into the world of Havamina for a second, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and make believe that the Torah only uses the phrase V'Beis Yelov. The word bor doesn't appear. Kiftach ish blank something, and it doesn't say the word bor. But the Torah does say V'Beis Yelov. So I would have said V'Beis Yelov Rachmana. That's it. Animal died. Chayev no matter what. So let's jump ahead for a minute to get a better understanding of this shear of Ten Tvachim, and then go back to understanding what Rabbeinu Tam did or did not say. We've been using these phrases all along, back to the first of the sources, V'kimul Rabbanan Yud Avdin Misa, that a 10 Tvachim boar, that is what kills an animal. A less than 10 Tvachim boar does not kill an animal. What does that phrase mean? If I have a boar test, or a boar less than 10, 5 Tvachim, an animal fell into a 5 Tvachim boar, it was alive when it went in, and it's dead, I can't say it's dead when it comes out, when you take it out, it's dead. So the animal died. So what do those words mean? Tes lezikin avdin misalo avdin. Just translate the words. What do the words mean? So Rashi, on the spot, unfortunately we don't have that Rashi. Rashi's on the Gemara, wasn't printed out here. Rashi says, you know what the cause of death was? I can tell you what it wasn't, says Rashi. It wasn't the falling into a pit. He said, there is no way, Rashi says, that an animal can die from falling into a two-inch deep pit. It just didn't happen. What happened? The animal went in alive and now it's dead? What happened? The animal had a heart attack. I don't know why the animal died. The animal had a stroke. I have no idea why the animal died, Rashi says. But I can tell you one thing. The cause of death is not falling into the pit. It just can't be. It's physically, it's just impossible for that to be the cause of death. That's how Rashi understands when the Gemara says that Yud Abdin Misa test Zikid Abdin Misa Lo Avdi. Rashi says it's a medical, scientific statement. Misa Lo Avdi. It just didn't happen. And the Rambam, when he quotes this din, Mishnah Torah, Nuchas Iskei Mamon, does not say this. Rashi, the Rambam says, of course the animal died. The animal fell into a 9.5 deep pit. It was alive and well before, and now it's dead. So what? It just had a heart attack, just on the spot. That's what happened. The Rambam says, of course that's why the animal died. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, Bisalo Avdi? The Rambam says what that means is that the Baal HaBor is not held accountable for such a Misa. You know why? Because it's an ones. Because it was so unlikely. It's something that he didn't even have to be olal hadas. He didn't have to anticipate that happening. If a guy digs a pit that's 100 feet deep, so he can't turn around and say, well, I didn't know that an animal was going to fall in and die. If an animal falls to a 100-foot pit, of course it's going to die. The guy dug a 10-tvachim pit. So the guy cannot turn around to us and say, well, I didn't think it was going to die. What do you mean you think it was going to die? Go check with the veterinarians. They'll tell you, you'd misavde. That's within the realm of normalcy. An animal falls into a 5-tefach pit. When they write up the cause of death is falling into pit. The animal didn't have some mysterious heart attack at the same simultaneous, but that's not what happened. The animal died because of the bang. It died because it fell into the pit. But the Baal HaBor can come into Beis Din and say, you know, I dug a 5-tefach pit. It wasn't Ola Al Adas. I never in a million years expected that animal's going to die. And the doctors, and the veterinarians, and the Beis Din all consult together and say, you know, the guy's right. The guy's onto something. This is a very unlikely. What are the percentages of animals that fall into 5 tefachim pits and die? Very, very unlikely. And therefore, it happened. Nebuchadnezzar, we know in the world of medicine, the unlikely things do happen, but still unlikely. And therefore, in Hilchas Nezikin, says the Rambam, I'm not held responsible for an Aynes. I'm held responsible for a Pshia. So if I dig a 10 tefach pit and the animal falls in, that's a Pshia. If I dig a 5 tefach pit and the animal falls in and dies, that's so unlikely, I didn't have to participate in, and that's Begid the Onus. That's a very, very different picture as to the line of demarcation. Is a line of demarcation a scientific medical statement, or is a line of demarcation just what is within the realm of normal possibility to hold the Baal HaBor responsible? So in light of that Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, which is going to keep on repeating itself throughout the sugya, we have to now go back to Rabbeinu Tam and try to figure out tomorrow what Rabbeinu Tam meant. So Rabbeinu Tam said, yeah, I could have had a less than 10 tefachim boar being chayav. That's okay. That would have been fine, except for Pesukim to tell me otherwise. We have to take a look and see. Does that even make sense? Does the presentation, does the formulation of the sugya according to Rabbeinu Tam fit into this Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam? Hopefully that's from tomorrow. We'll pick up from this point. Rabbi?